Friends in Christ, I was out to dinner recently with some good friends of mine, and during the conversation, they invited me to an event that's coming up in a couple of months, and I thought in my mind, there's no way I want to go to that. But I said, well, that's interesting. I'll think about it. I wanted to be nice. My friend called me out on my non-committal response, and he said, oh, you're just being typical Minnesota nice. I can tell you don't really want to go. I said, you're right. But Minnesota nice is something we hear about, but it's not only Minnesotans that do Minnesota nice. As we hear in the gospel today, also the Nazareans, the people of Nazareth, are being Nazareth nice to Jesus at first. Today's gospel is a continuation of last week's gospel. In fact, the opening line of today's gospel was the last line of last week's gospel, as Jesus comes back to his hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. And as we heard, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as he was accustomed to doing, and he's given the job of being the lector. So he gets up and reads from the passage of Isaiah chapter 61. And as we heard, both last week and this week, the people were very favorably impressed with Jesus, both his reading of the scripture and then his short homily. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And as we heard, the gospel said, all the people spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But then, that Nazareth nice attitude turned to the people being filled with fury, as we heard. They changed their attitude pretty quickly because they started to grasp what Jesus really said in that short homily and then in the conversation that came afterwards. In that short homily, they realized when Jesus says, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing, they realized that he's claiming to be the prophet spoken of in Isaiah chapter 61. And they thought, how dare he? Even though they're proud of this hometown boy, said he can't be that prophet. And then Jesus started talking about how the Jews were not necessarily the ones who received God's favor. And he brought to mind to the people's attention two incidents from the Old Testament that they would have been familiar with in the scriptures, where Jews were not the ones who were healed. He said, remember Elisha the prophet and Elijah the prophet, and he brought up two incidents, how the widow at Zarephath was healed. Now for us, that just kind of doesn't click in our minds. But to the people of Nazareth, they would have realized that widow of Zarephath was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And she was healed. And then Jesus brought up another incident where Naaman, the Syrian, was cured of his leprosy. And Naaman was a Syrian, a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And so they realized that Jesus was saying the Gentiles can be saved as well. Not just the Jews, the chosen people of God, and their Nazareth nice turned into being filled with fury. As we heard, they led him to a brow of the hill outside of Nazareth, intending to hurl him off headlong. We were on this hill last year, about a year ago, and it was a cold, rainy day, and you could just imagine Jesus being thrown off this hill. It was a very steep cliff. But of course, as we heard, Jesus escaped the gospel says that he slipped through their midst and got away, as his time had not yet come. So what's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on is what happens to us in our world today. If we are faithful disciples of Jesus, the same thing is going to happen to us as happened to Jesus, as happened to Jeremiah the prophet. Did you ever feel when you spoke the truth to someone, when you were not necessarily being Minnesota nice, and you spoke the truth that maybe hurt someone or that they didn't agree with, and they wanted to hurl you off a cliff headlong? Or like Jeremiah the prophet, as we heard of in today's first reading. We know the story about Jeremiah. He did not want to be a prophet because he knew what would happen to him if he spoke the truth to the people of Israel. And we know they threw him into a cistern. They wanted to kill him. But as we heard, God said today, they will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you. So we need to join the club of Jesus and Jeremiah. The people of Nazareth, of Galilee, they loved Jesus when he healed their sick, when he fed the 5,000. Oh, this Jesus is great. We love him. Let's follow him. But then when he called them to repentance, they changed their mind. They crucified him. And the same thing happens with us. And that's the same thing about religion today. When we feed the poor, when we do good things for people, which we must do and we're called to do, everyone says, oh, religion is great. That's wonderful how those Christians do such good things to people, how they love one another, how they love the poor, how they serve the poor. But when we speak the truth and call people to repentance, sometimes they want to hurl us off a cliff. Hard scriptures today. But it's very intentional that the church puts in the middle of these two hard readings today from the prophet Jeremiah and then from the Gospel of Luke, puts right in the middle of these two readings this beautiful treatise on love of St. Paul, the 13th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I had to memorize this chapter when I was in fifth grade, and I can't anymore recite it from memory, but I used to be able to recite the whole thing from memory. It's one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. If you want to memorize part of the Bible, pick this chapter, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And St. Paul talks about the greatest of the virtues, love. It's no surprise to any of us. But when we really study this passage, it calls us to repentance. And if we really study this passage and take it to heart, we're going to run to the confessional after we read it. If you ever are going to confession and you think, well, I can't think of any sins that I've committed. I don't know how any of us can do that, but sometimes we can't think of any sins. Well, go to this chapter, and I can guarantee you, you'll come up with a long list of sins. Because it talks about all those things that love is. And when we don't do those things, that is sin. Love is patient. When we're impatient, that's a sin against love. Love is not jealous. Have you ever been jealous? That's a sin against love. Not pompous. Have you ever been pompous, prideful? It's a sin. Rude. Love is not rude. Love does not brood over injury. Do you ever brood over something that somebody did to you? That's not love. That's a sin. And we're called to repent of that and confess it. And then there's this beautiful line, which I love, which is, I think, something we need to do today. It says, love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Recently, I was meeting with a young couple from our parish who are preparing for the sacrament of Christian marriage. And as we were going through the questions, I realized that they were not living together. And they intended not to live together until the day of their marriage. And I congratulated them. And I said, I rejoice with you because you are living the truth. And you are serving love. Love of God and love of each other. Friends, that's what we have to do. When we see someone living the truth, like that couple who's trying to live a chaste life until the day of their marriage, we need to rejoice with them. We need to affirm them. Because what's the opposite? The opposite is sin. The opposite is non-love. And our culture constantly tries to say, oh no, that's not love. Love is accepting everybody for whatever they want to do. No, that's not what the scripture says. We need to rejoice with the truth. Friends, we're not as Christians called to be Minnesota nice all the time. It's good to be nice, certainly. But we need to speak the truth in love and call one another to that greatest of all virtues, love of God and love of neighbor.